The Humboldt Zebra Crossing first appeared in the UK in the 1960s, when 2 million cars were registered on the roads of Britain. Fast forward to today, when currently 31.7 million cars are registered. And how much has really changed when it comes to pedestrian crossings? Little development has taken place, which brings into question why that is the case, and does more need to be done to improve the safety on UK's roads? Joining me now to discuss the new technology and what can be done to make our roads safe is Wendy Pearson from Direct Line. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. First of all, tell us what actually prompted the research into this.
Well, back in October last year, we developed a prototype crossing, which was a high-performance responsive road crossing, responding to the world in real time to keep users safe. And off the back of that, we wanted to carry out some research. It sparked a lot of conversation when we did that prototype. And so we carried out some research just to find out what it was that people are most concerned with, and actually to understand a little bit more about how much people understand about the law when it comes to crossing the road. So, as you pointed out at the beginning, the number of cars on the road has increased exponentially since the original zebra crossings first appeared, but actually not much has changed with them. And if you add to that the fact that every year there's around about 7,000 incidents each year between motorists, cyclists or pedestrians at crossings, it's quite worrying, really, that we're not doing anything to move on the development of things that are meant to keep people safe when they're crossing the road. So when we asked people a number of questions, one of the things that came out really clearly is only around about 19% of UK adults actually know what the law is when it comes to stepping out on a zebra crossing, which is quite frightening, really. And more worrying still is that nearly half of those that we surveyed thought that it was when people were waiting rather than the fact that they can actually step out and then people can actually go ahead and, cars have to legally stop as you're crossing the road.
See, that's interesting because I was of that opinion as well. Now, I'm partially sighted and I'm a bit wary about stepping out onto a zebra crossing. So I'm in that position where I want to know that vehicles have stopped.
And I think this is the problem. There's so much confusion around it that you can easily see why people might step out when it's not safe to do so or when cars don't stop because they believe that they don't have to. So I think the one of the things that the smart crossing that we developed last year aimed to do was make it much clearer to people if something was already occurring, making it highlighting that so that whoever needed to could take necessary action to avoid an accident.
So how did it actually work then, the smart crossing?
So what it was, as I said, it's a responsive road crossing and it adapts according to the situation at hand. So one of the things that it did was it can widen to accommodate larger crowds. So if you think about when you get a big group of people trying to cross together, you want to make sure they are all on the crossing and not spilling out over onto the edge of the road so that it's really clear to people where the crossing actually is. The other thing that it did was it lit up pedestrians who were crossing, so to make them more visible to cars that are approaching it. I think this time of year in particular, when it's very dark outside, both in the mornings and the evenings, it's much harder to see pedestrians on a crossing as a motorist. So therefore, what this aimed to do was make it sort of really clear that there was someone on the crossing and so that you didn't have that blind spot.
And was there only one of these, like a prototype?
Yes, so it was one prototype that we developed, and what we've done since is we've taken the technology and made it open source. What we want to do is work with other partners to continue to develop the technology and make it even more feasible to roll out, because the prototype worked for what it was, but it's not fit for purpose to go out straight away onto all the streets. So as with any innovation, there's multiple stages of development. So we're starting that now and starting to refine and really hone what the technology is capable of.
When would you like to see this actually being used, do you think?
Well, I think over the next few weeks, we will, as I said, we're starting to develop it more and we'll start to get an idea of what is feasible to develop. And then we'll start to see how other people can develop that further. So if anyone's interested, they can go onto our website at directline.com and actually get the open source technology and start thinking about what they would do to improve it. Because I think that's the key, is there's so many ideas out there and there's such a demand for something to be done. We learned that from the research and from the amount of conversation that was generated last time when we developed the prototype, that as many ideas as we can get as possible means that there's more likelihood of finding a solution that's fit for purpose for this century and that is future-proofed as well.
And for blind or partially sighted pedestrians, then you'd welcome some feedback then as well?
Oh, absolutely, because I think it's really important that whatever we do has to be universally useful. So we need as many different people getting involved as we can so that we make sure that we don't miss any opportunities to improve safety for everyone.
And I suppose also we've kind of moved away from while we were chatting, but I suppose you've already mentioned this, the lack of knowledge about the protocol and the laws. Do we need to do more about road safety education in general?
I think everyone's got a responsibility to make sure that they know the laws of the road and that they kind of share that with people. And we do a lot of work with road safety charities like Brake, who do a lot of brilliant work in trying to educate people. But yeah, I think that some of the statistics that came out from the research said that although half of people learnt what they needed to know about road safety from the Highway Code, there were 6 people that said they've never learned anything about road safety. And an overwhelming majority of people, nearly 80% of all the people that we talk to, still think that not enough is being done in schools and colleges to teach people about it. And I think that to me says that there's an awful lot of people out there that don't know what the rules of the road are, and therefore there's a lot of danger.
That's quite worrying, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think that the thing is with a solution like the Smart Crossing, what that can do is that can start to help make things safer for people because it can respond to the situation at hand. But I think people still do need to educate themselves more.
Sounds quite exciting. Could be the new Abbey Road cover. Yeah.
It's really exciting. And I think one of the things about it that's so great is with getting more and more people involved in it, you get so many more ideas. We were pretty overwhelmed with how people responded to it in the first place. And I think that what that highlighted to us is there's so many more opportunities than perhaps we'd originally believed there to be, and that this is so much more important to people than we thought.
So give us the web address again, please.
So it's directline.com/smartcrossing.
Well, we will watch this with interest. Wendy Pearson from Direct Line, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.